This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. It's often difficult to investigate crimes because of a no-snitch mentality and witness intimidation. And though police may have a suspect, they often can't charge that person because witnesses are not willing to come forward. The Cincinnati Police Department wants to change that through a new program that's designed to support witnesses. And joining us to discuss Cincinnati Citizens Respect Our Witnesses are Cincinnati Police Department therapist and social worker Karen Rumsey and Cincinnati Police Department Sergeant Jennifer Mitch, who came up with the concept for the program. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jennifer and Karen, good to see both of you this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you.
Jennifer, how did you come up with the idea for this? How did this all get started in the first place?
Well, as a homicide detective over the last 10 years, we've seen an increase in witness intimidation. So we would be at murder trials inside the courtrooms, and defendants would have an entourage of people come in their support during murder trials. And they will line the hallways, they'll sit in the courtrooms, they'll use their phones, post pictures on social media of witnesses, potential witnesses, jurors, in an attempt to intimidate them. So that they can get an acquittal or not found not guilty. So there's been an increase in this intimidation factor. The no-snitch mentality has been around for years. That's not new. But with the rise in
social
media...
That's pretty much across the board in a lot of places, too, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. We're not unique here in Cincinnati in that regard. So we saw this, and we were looking for a way to combat that. And on the other side of things... You know, we have a witness who's stepping up to do the right thing, and there was just something lacking with the support for them. So while the bad guys may have their entourage of supporters there, the witnesses are there by themselves a lot of the time, waiting. And sometimes the cases get continued for periods of time, sometimes years, and we keep asking them to come back. So this was kind of an idea of what can we do to support the people that are doing the right thing as a community and be there in the courtrooms and the hallways for them, as opposed to the bad guy having their people.
Can you give me an example of a more recent case where it was tough to get people to come forward and talk about what happened? And
every case.
Every case.
Every case.
Absolutely.
It's not unique.
Okay.
Over the last decade, we have over 200 unsolved cases. Unsolved doesn't mean that we as detectives don't know who did it. Unsolved means
have
we haven't made an arrest.
Right.
So I would say the greater part of 85-90% of the unsolved cases, we know who did it. But we can't take them to court, get a conviction without that evidence and the witness testimony that we need.
Karen, from the witness's perspective, what kinds of things make it difficult for them? It has to be a lot of different factors that make it tough for them to come forward.
Some of the more important things that keep people from coming forward is the way that they're viewed in their community, the way the rest of the public views people that come forward. You got to understand, like, this no-snitch mentality, like Jen was saying, has been going on forever. So it's nothing new, and nobody really wants to be labeled the snitch. But, you know, our thought of it is that if people take away the snitch part of it and they talk about doing something that's right, when it comes to community violence, when it comes to homicide, those type of violent crimes, it's not really snitching. It's about, even at that point, self-preservation. People want to come forward and do the right thing, but if you've got to go back home and you've got to walk past these same guys that are still on the corner, you know, and that's causing problems for you, or maybe it's causing problems for your children who need to go to school in that community. So it has rippled effects, and so people are afraid, primarily, is what I see as the main reason why people aren't coming forward to testify.
Yeah, and even though the no-snitch mentality has been around for a long time, I'd have to think, as Jennifer was saying, you know, somebody has a cell phone and they're recording you at the courthouse. Technology, social media, things like that have probably just made it even tougher.
It's even worse, especially because even if some of the things that I've seen, and not to be specific about cases, but I've seen social media start at the time, the point of the homicide, even before the investigators get there to begin looking for evidence. People are taking pictures of
the crime scene.
People are taking pictures of people around. So the bad guys already know who's looking at them And that's where the intimidation begins. So a part of a normal investigation, I'm just talking from layman terms because she's the expert on that part. But a part of that is that detectives are walking around and they're canvassing, you know, who saw anything, who can tell us anything when they get to the scene. And so people are already afraid. I mean, and sometimes these criminals are so sophisticated that they'll even still be there and you won't know. You know, so it's a whole lot of things that come into play that keep people from coming forward. And if you think that you're not supported in your community, why would you think anybody else would support you? So Crow makes sense because we're putting support around people who are coming forward to do the right thing. And we're hoping that it'll trickle into neighborhoods saying, hey, well, we support Crow, too. We don't want these bad guys. We don't want these bad things that's happening in our neighborhoods. So the neighborhoods get on board, and we become a city of Crow. We become a city that supports people doing the right thing.
Karen and I have visited community council meetings throughout the city and in all the neighborhoods of Cincinnati. And everybody that attends those community meetings is in full support of this program. So every neighborhood that you can think of in Cincinnati, since the neighborhoods with higher crime, neighborhoods with lower crime, everybody wants to see a safe neighborhood. Everybody wants their children to be able to go outside and play without any worry. Nobody wants to worry about, you know, having these things happen in their neighborhood. And what I always say to people is, when you go out of town and somebody asks you where you're from, what do you say? You say Cincinnati. Because that's where we're from. You don't say Hyde Park. You don't say Kennedy Heights. You don't say Winton Terrace. You say Cincinnati. So this is all our city, and we should all be doing something proactive to help the people that are stepping forward to make it safer.
You got a lot of community support, but absolutely. What about support from city officials? How do they
absolutely view? Complete full support from city officials? Mayor Cranley offered financial support to pilot the program, which we've done, and we've had huge successes so far just in the first 10 months of this program. We have over 20 current witnesses that are involved with the program taking advantage of support services that we offer. So it isn't just being there at court. This program encompasses more than that. It really encompasses supporting a person that's coming forward, addressing their immediate needs, which would be safety, first of all. Are they safe? We can help them relocate if they need help relocating. Not everybody wants to relocate, but they may want something to help them feel safer at home. So we have alarm systems that we could give people that has a key fob. And if they're in danger, they're being threatened, they get immediate access to dispatch so that somebody's coming right to them. We also have improved conditions at court. We've made it more comfortable for them to sit and wait. You just don't have to sit on a bench in the hallway and wait for your case to be called or wait to be called to the stand. So we have a room that's more comfortable. We're going to provide them with breakfast or lunch, whatever they need. A ride, transportation could be an issue. We're focused on removing any obstacle that we can that's going to come in between coming to court and not coming to court.
One of the other crucial pieces that I'll add as well is when we talk about supporting our witnesses. So from the day that they're identified as a witness, they're then a part of our program. And our program offers individual counseling for families. See, there's another layer of witnessing a homicide. Not just are you the keeper of this information that is going to help a family to get some resolve, to feel some closure because their loved one's death will be, you know, there's somebody that's going to be arrested and hopefully convicted because of that. But there's also the traumatic piece of it is carrying that weight and that information. Who knows what exactly it was involved in any in particular homicide, but that's trauma to a person. It's trauma to young people. It's trauma to old people. Of any age. You know, we watch it on the news all the time. There's horrific incidents that go around, you know, the world, and so it pulls at your heartstrings. Imagine you being the person that saw that. you know, and what do you do with it? You can't tell anybody. So when people come forward.
So you can actually suffer stress, post-traumatic stress and things like that?
A lot of post-traumatic stress disorder. And we see that sometimes even play out with kids going to school. I mean, they're in these neighborhoods that they're becoming desensitized to gunfire and incidents of crime and murder in their neighborhoods because it's such a commonplace thing. So a part of the CROW program is offering these people individual counseling. I mean, we're following them, doing weekly well check calls. So it's not like you're identified today, the trial is 2 years from now, we'll call you then when we're ready for you. We're following people from day one and making sure that all their needs are taken care of. So it's not just what you bring to the table, but what we also give you back in return. And hopefully that's a little bit more comfort and at ease living with what you've seen and been through.
We're talking about how sometimes family members and friends of the suspect show up in court in large numbers. That's
right.
Intimidating to the witness.
Right.
How will this program counter that? How do you counter that kind of thing?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because the courthouse and the prosecutor's office has also collaborated with us to address that. With the judge's approval now, and I haven't had one that said no, we will not allow cell phones in the courtroom. In murder trials, you're going to have to present an ID, and you'll be run for warrants if you would like to come in the courtroom and watch. And there's cameras. So we're going to know who's in the hallway. We're going to know who's doing the intimidating, who's watching, and who's there. So there are ways that from the front lines, we're addressing that. And now we have our group of community volunteers.
Yes, we have CROWs. That's just regular citizens that want to come and support our people that are testifying. And so they fill
the courtroom. So you have your own entourage, your court, to counter the other person.
Oh, right.
Yes,
exactly.
Of good people.
513-419-7100 to join us. Jennifer, how hard is it for police to go after someone suspected of witness intimidation? I mean, how can that be proven?
Well, we always ask people, you know, if you've been threatened in some way and you can document that, give us the documentation. If we can prove it, we're going to charge somebody with intimidation. Absolutely zero tolerance for intimidating a witness in a court proceeding.
Let's speak with Sarah in Mount Adams. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
So I don't know how much this pertains to what you guys are talking about, but I called 911, and I can't remember exactly what it was for, but there was somebody, I think they were driving crazy on the road or something, and so I said, you know, they can't find out that I called, can they? And the operator told me, yes, that it's actually public record, your telephone number, and so I'm like, I will never call again because what if it was something crazy like a murder, something like that, and they can find out my telephone number, find out where I live? That is really scary to me. Why would they make that public record?
Well, there's this thing called the Public Information Act, and that's just kind of what we have to do. We do, however, have Crime Stoppers, which is completely anonymous, and anybody can always call them at 352-3040. That has its limitations. You know, that could put us on the right lead to something, but that's not something that we can use at court. So if you're comfortable calling straight to the police and giving them that information, we will let you know that as a witness, you will be supported, that we will be behind you and we will keep you safe. And this is not a witness protection plan. We're not going to change your identity and give you a new driver's license and move you to Montana and you not to talk to anybody anymore.
Anyway.
Yeah, most people really don't want that.
Yeah, that's a major disruption in your life. That
right.
If you can avoid it, you should.
This is a support program. But there are ways to report things anonymously, and Crime Stoppers would be that route.
As best you can tell, Jennifer, is this a first of its kind program?
In the United States, as far as we can tell, this is the first of its kind. We did find a very similar program, believe it or not, in Croatia, related to war crimes and witnesses who were being retaliated against and killed for information regarding war. So in the United States, though, this is it.
And are you hoping this is going to become a national model since apparently it's not going on anyplace else?
I hope so. I hope, you know, we're collecting all the data as we go along, and we hope to show that it's successful, that not only are people safer, but we're changing lives, we're changing communities, and we're increasing our arrests on our murders.
I wanted to ask you, too, how much the acronym CCRO, how much that has to do with Kelsey Crow's case?
Well, at the time we came up with this idea was at the time that she was murdered. And Kelsey was murdered in front of the YMCA on Melrose Avenue in April of 2015. And Kelsey's Crow is significant. Kelsey's case is significant because it epitomizes everything we've been going through. So this Crow program, although it's named in Kelsey's name, Crow, it is for all of those victims that we know who killed them, and sometimes their own families know who killed them, and we can't do anything about it. So that's the significance, is that it epitomizes. There was over 100 people out that night, and nobody was willing to come forward, and those that did said, I'm going to share this information with you, but you won't find me at court.
And even though her case, it's a tragic case.
It is.
It's a tough case. But as you're saying, it's all too common, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So you were talking about you've already seen some successes in the program. What are you hoping happens in the future as it keeps going? Where would you like to see this head?
Well, our mission and our vision is, if you see something, say something. And we want that vision to be put out there everywhere throughout the city. We'll be putting out an initiative for businesses to support our mission by placing our sign in their window or at their store saying that they support the mission, see something, say something. Don't be afraid to come forward, that there are people here in Cincinnati that are going to support you. And that's what we would like to see. We'd like to see more community volunteers. We'd like to see businesses offer employees volunteer hours for coming maybe on court days or helping with these witnesses. We'd like to see, Karen, you got some more things?
Yeah, there's a lot of need still for this program. We need sponsorship. That would be one of the most helpful things. Some of the people that are coming forward that we're currently working with Crow, are also young people who maybe haven't been on the straight and narrow track up until this point. Something traumatic has happened, and they want to do the right thing. So we're helping people to change their lives by maybe getting a job for the first time. You know, a couple of the Crow people that we've worked with have never worked in their lives, and so they come in this program, they're getting some counseling, you know, they're ready to work, able to work. So, you know, if there are business owners that want to sign on and maybe they can employ some folks that are coming through our program. The other thing is crucial is to make sure that they have cell phones. So there's quite a few needs that we have that we're supplying for people, because we always want to be able to get in touch with a person so that we can keep safety first. You know, so that's just a few things on the list that we hope to build from this. But your overall question was, where do we hope to see this go? We hope for Cincinnati to be safer. When criminals figure out this isn't the right place to be, because these people are banding together and they're going to tell, then maybe they got to take their trade and go someplace else. But we want communities overall. We want safe streets again. We want safe places for our kids to play. And our kids want to grow up. You know, one of the things that I'll tell you that kind of spins right along with this is the survivors of homicide. You know, those families that want closure, those families, you know, that whose loved ones have been murdered, you know, they have a buy-in Crow as well. And a lot of them have come forward in support, because Crow isn't just for new cases, new homicides that happen. If there are people that have information about homicides from 10, 20 years ago, those people should come forward. Call Crime Stoppers, call our office, and, you know, begin to give us that information that we can go back and solve some of those cases. So our hope is, like, that we're an overall city program, and that people do respect again that to do the right thing is, if you see something, to say something.
So what advice, Karen, would you have for somebody who's a reluctant witness? What would you tell them? I mean, you can urge people to see something, say mm-hmm. something, but you got to get past that emotional aspect of, oh, I'm afraid of doing this.
Right. You know, I've talked to several people, you know, even in my own family, and there's like, Karen, I don't know about this. How safe is it really for me? give us a chance. Come and talk to us. You know, let us tell you what it is that we can do for you. You know, let us, you know, be able to help you get through some of those fears. You know, like I said, there's counseling associated with our program, and we're being as transparent as we possibly can be. You know, we can only keep you as safe as you allow us and help us to keep you safe. So maybe, you know, you might need to change some lifestyle things. You know, if your 9-to-5 hasn't been a legal 9-to-5 job, you might need to change that. You know, so it's just things like that, that what I would tell people, if you're reluctant to come forward, you know, you're still living with this and it's still eating at you. So why not let us help you resolve it? It's not going to go away.
Well, Karen and Jennifer, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Cincinnati Police Department therapist and social worker Karen Rumsey and CPD Sergeant Jennifer Mitch. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll review and discuss the people, stories, and events that affected the tri-state this week. We'll present an in-depth look at the developments behind the headlines with editors and reporters from WVXU and other local news organizations. And we'd like to hear and share your thoughts on this week's news and how it was reported. Join us on the next Cincinnati Edition for our weekly news review, Friday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.